Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined by Barry Trammell and Joe Masato in the Oklahoman studios after the Thunder's 114-106 loss to the San Antonio Spurs, which rounds out a pretty disappointing first games in four games in February.
Yeah, a mediocre home stretch. I mean, the Thunder beat the Cavaliers, they beat the Pistons. Neither of those were super impressive wins, and then they lost to the Celtics, which is fine. I mean, the Celtics are very good.
And they played well.
Yeah, they played well. There were some lapses, but... The Spurs game was different. The Spurs were on a second night of a back-to-back after the Thunder didn't play yesterday. They were without DeMar DeRozan. And the Thunder were just a little flat on offense. And if not for Chris Paul, this one could have been even worse than an 8-point game.
Yeah, I mean, the 4-day break after January, they clearly have come back and been sort of out of rhythm. Billy said it. Out of rhythm.
I seem to remember someone before the break saying that 4 days
you called
was
it. You
too
called it.
Many.
I was very wrong. You called it.
Yeah, I don't know. They clearly needed a break. I mean, 17, did they play on the first?
Yeah, they played 17 games in January.
Yeah, but I think they played 17 games in 30 days is what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I don't think they played in the first.
So they played the second. So 17 games in 30 days, you need a little time off. But it's clearly cost them. So, the Cleveland and Detroit games, those are two teams. Detroit's terrible when they got all their players, and they had missing 4 or 5 of their best players. And Cleveland's Cleveland. So that's teams they should have routed. And they were, those were games they didn't put away until the very last minute. So, and then tonight, just not good at all. The first quarter was an abomination. Fourth quarter, they couldn't get a stop. So, Not a good performance tonight, and it's time for the All-Star break. They got to go to New Orleans, unfortunately, and play Thursday night. But maybe maybe another extended break can snap them back into the good graces of quality basketball,
or make things worse.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
I mean, last year we saw the Thunder had a fantastic January. You had Terrence Ferguson shooting out of his mind. And then really the skid started with the first game before All-Star, the last game before the All-Star break, which was again at New Orleans.
Is that when it started? It started with that New Orleans game?
Yeah. And
then it continued.
They came back and they won a few, and then
post All-Star break, they
was
were very
really
good.
Bad.
Yeah, they were not
and,
good.
And that last game, we all were saying, oh, well, they're just already – their heads are already in the break, but really you can extend that skid out to there. And then Paul George's health deteriorated, and it was a mess.
Yeah, well, it was not good tonight. Out of the five primary players, you can say that Chris Paul played really well, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander played okay after an early disappearing act, and that's about as far as you can go. When you get 1.5 good games out of your five best players, this isn't the bad boy Pistons where they go 10 deep. They got to have their main players play well, or they're in trouble.
Yeah, Chris Paul was pretty much the lone positive tonight. He actually had his Thunder high. He had three 30-point games. He had 31 tonight, 12 of 18. 5 of 9 from 3, 7 assists. He either made or assisted on Oklahoma City's 10 out of their first 12 baskets. So, like, at the start of the game when they were in a bit of a rut, it was Chris Paul trying to, like, urge them out of it and sort of, snap them back into playing good basketball.
Yeah, by halftime, he had 15 points and no one else had more than 6.
Yeah.
And really, his big push came right there in the second quarter because the Thunder collapsed at the beginning of the first. There's no other way to describe it. They just stopped. They're playing pretty good defense to start the game, but they just stopped scoring for the last 6. They made 1 point in the last 6:15 of that first quarter.
And you know what? They really made 0 points because Gallinari made what looked like a 3 with 6:17 left in the first quarter. to give them 14 points. And about 3 minutes later, they come over the loudspeaker and say, after further review, that last Gallinari shot was a two-pointer. So then the Thunder eventually made a foul shot. So they really, they went from 14 to 13 to 14 in the last 6-17 of the game, of the first quarter. So it was just a disastrous night. It was just a disastrous night. Schroeder shot an air ball off the inbounds play that they love so much. Mm-hmm. Paul himself shot an air ball on a three down the stretch when they were scratching to stay in the game. Gallinari was terrible tonight, which he's not very often terrible on offense.
No.
Yeah, he was 4 of 16.
Yeah, so it's not – it was just a bad day at BlackRock. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's like it started out with bad offense, and then it ended with bad defense. The Spurs, and great offense from the Spurs. The Spurs were 13 of 18 in the fourth quarter, 72%. They scored 35 points. Thunder had a 29-point fourth quarter. They just couldn't complete the comeback because the Spurs only missed five shots in the quarter.
Yeah. It's insane. And
they missed their first three of the quarter. Yeah. So whatever, 13.
And only one of those was a three.
Yeah.
They were one of one.
And I think nine of them were mid-range. Two or three were at the basket. So it was just a bad game. And you know what? They're due a bad game.
They've been so good since Thanksgiving. You got to have a little regression to the mean.
And you know, they were 25-6 against teams that now have losing records. So 25-7 is still really good. But, man, you just hate to give away games.
Especially games when LaMarcus Aldridge didn't score 50 points.
LaMarcus Aldridge was 3 of 13. I think through three quarters.
Final line is good, but yeah, he struggled.
He's 3 of 13 through three quarters. So, and they had Mike Muscala guarding him some. I thought, you know what? I thought Billy sort of made a mistake. I might have put Gallinari on him some during this game because Gallinari's not any good on defense. But why is that? Because people go around him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Marcus Aldridge isn't going around anybody. He's going to shoot over anybody he guards. So, I mean, anybody that guards him, he's just going to shoot over him. So make him shoot over Gallinari. It's one thing Gallinari has is height. So, you know, why put Mac Muscala out there trying to chase him around, or Nerlens or anybody else? Just, you know, to me, it's a sort of a you know, Adams is the best, but if you need to put somebody else, let old Gallinari do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's like a huge amount of difference in the defense that Muscala and Gallinari could. I mean, they're both
tall
guys who aren't very fast.
Right. So that I guess what I'm saying is, why play Muscala if you don't have to?
Oh, okay.
Well,
is what I'm saying.
Because they had to.
Well, because of Nerlens' fouls, he had three fouls
in less 90, than
97
minutes.
Seconds.
1 minute and 37 seconds. Yeah.
Boy, Nerlens was a nothing burger tonight. Golly.
That kind of screwed up the whole rotation.
It really did. Yeah. And it seemed like Billy wasn't going to go to Muscala at the four. There was a funny moment pregame where Eric Horn was asking him about, you know, the small ball that they played last game because of Bazley's injury, which, quick injury update, they re-diagnosed him with a bone bruise in his right knee, and he will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. So the Thunder's going to be doing this for a while now, and Billy Donovan started naming off the guys who could play power forward, and he said Amadou Diallo and Abdul Nader and Deontay Burton. And then afterwards, Eric was like, I noticed you didn't say Mike Muscala. And Billy was like, oh, yeah, I should have. But it doesn't seem like, at least for this matchup, that was really the plan. But he ended up having to play center.
Well, they should be. They should be blood brothers, Mike Muscala and Billy Donovan. They're getting honored by their alma maters.
On the same day.
Or not alma maters, but they're getting at a prestigious university on the very same day. Bucknell and University of Florida.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, Muscala is getting his jersey retired from Bucknell. He was college stats were crazy. He's the only player in Patriot League history to have 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds.
And there's not a lot of guys leaving the Patriot League after 2 years.
That's right. They're all four-year
players.
Four-year
guys. And they got some squads. They got Lehigh and Bucknell. They got some schools that can play.
Yeah, so cool thing for Mike Muscala and then Billy Donovan.
C.J. McCollum played in the Patriot League.
Yeah, and then Florida is naming their court after – it's going to be called Billy Donovan Court, so that ceremony is Saturday. So that is the connection there.
Anybody else getting honored Saturday? What do you guys got going on?
I don't have anything.
Kimmy Schmidt's going to be
in
Chicago.
I'll be in Chicago. Be hanging out with Shai-Gilgeous Alexander and sees skills challenging.
Muscala played 7 minutes tonight. We've seen.
He made a basket.
Yeah. that should be all I say.
He did.
He did make a basket. Billy played. I mean, maybe it was because of the foul trouble, but Billy played 11 guys in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think the foul trouble definitely played into it.
Yeah. Deontay Burton was the only Thunder player who did not play.
And, you know, let me say this. At one point in the game, I was thinking, you know, these role players aren't, you know, when Billy goes to these lineups with poor Schroeder played some with no other scorer out there. He played with Nader and Diallo and Ferguson and then either Noel or Adams. So they're not going to score with that lineup. And I got to looking at it. And really, when Billy had only one or two of his four scorers out there, they still weren't any worse, really, than when they had a bunch of them out there. So I don't think you can blame this game on the role players. I thought the main guys just didn't come through.
Nader he didn't make a three, but I was pretty impressed with what – he had a good third quarter.
Yeah.
He was very aggressive.
He got to the rim. He drew some fouls. I was kind of surprised at, you know, the things he was doing offensively.
Yeah, he didn't make – I don't even think he made an outside shot, period. I think
he's 0-3 from three.
And even the mid-range was – I think it was all at the rim. But he did give them a little bit, and that's what they need. And Diallo came up with two
fouls.
Straight. Diallo had a basket at the end of the third quarter and then gave them their only tie after the first 2 minutes to open the fourth quarter. And I thought they're going – when it was 79-79, I thought, well, the Thunder's going to win this game despite playing terrible.
Yeah.
And his pass to Steven Adams was gorgeous.
It was a good pass. Yeah, it was, for a dunk.
The point I thought the Thunder might win was a little before that fourth quarter started. Patty Mills had a three. It goes in and out. Would have given the Spurs, I think, a six-point lead. And then coming back the other way, he has a really dumb foul on Dennis Schroeder. He fouls Schroeder on a three-point attempt. Schroeder makes three free throws. So now all of a sudden – it's 79-77 going into that fourth quarter. But we've already said what happened in the fourth quarter. The Thunder couldn't get stops, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah, I mean, we're so used to the Thunder coming back and really pushing late. And for the last two nights, they've fallen short of that. And it's been weird. Usually we see them giving that little extra oomph at the end, and maybe they just got oomphed out in the second and third.
Well, it's the idea that you could keep coming back from crazy deficits. That's not a sustainable plan. You know, get down, we'll just come back. So, you know, I think that ship has sailed. They rode it pretty good there with that stretch in December. But now the Thunder's just going to have to play well early and – Billy had a good quote after the game, which is saying a lot for Billy Donovan because that doesn't happen every month. He said something like
– Every month.
Yeah, he said – what did he say? He said something like
– So said, good, you can't remember it.
Yeah, it is so good. I need to look it up. I'll promise you this. I used it. But he talked about the margin of error.
Yeah.
Is small for this team. And that's true. Here's what he said. He says, for us, we don't have a big margin for error. We need a lot of guys to play well at one time. And that's true.
And that really summed it up.
This is not a team. Even, you know, in the past, we're used to, as good as Chris Paul is, he's not an atomic player like Westbrook or Durant or Paul George, where those guys, if they had a really good day, it didn't matter what anybody else does. You know, Russell Westbrook could score 50 points. Kevin Durant could score 50 points. If Schroeder or whoever's playing with him wants to have a bad game, what'd they care? Well, they'll score 50 points and see what happens. That's not this Thunder team. This Thunder team needs most, at least two, and really three of those four guys to play well.
And so often we've seen all five of them chipping in double digits and, like, you know, they've had so many games where it's like four of them had 20-point games or at least three.
Right.
And that's when they're really moving the ball well and they're really clicking well. And Billy Donovan kind of mentioned, like, we've had so many fortunate nights through January, essentially, where we just had good offensive nights and had multiple guys have good offensive nights. And I guess they were due for that to dry up for at least a bit here.
Yeah, and as far as margin of error, you know, average point differential is probably at least as good of a gauge or maybe a better gauge than wins and losses. The Thunder and the Mavericks, they're both 32 and 22. The Thunder are plus 2.5. That's their point differential. The Mavs are plus 5.8. So that just tells you they're at the same record, but the Thunder are just playing so many closer games than the Mavericks.
Yeah, and close games, nobody wants to hear this, but the analytics crowd will prove to you, if you'll sit down with them and let them show you the data, winning close games is not a sustainable plan going forward. It doesn't mean if you win, you know, if you win seven close games in a 12-game span, it doesn't mean you're going to be really good in close games for the next dozen games. That's not what it means. It means you've been fortunate. Really good teams, you know what they do in a 12-game span? They win one close game because they've won eight or nine games by an easy margin and they don't have to sweat it. That's what really good teams do, is not mess with close games.
This team's fun to cover because they hardly ever blow anyone out and they hardly ever get blown out.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, look at Detroit and Cleveland. That's how you knew if you can't blow out Detroit on a Friday night right after the trade deadline when they got a bunch of guys hurt and they've sliced their roster and you don't even know who's two or three of the guys they're playing. You never even heard of them. Even if you're in the NBA, if you can't blow them out, you probably got some limitations.
Yeah, but the Thunder still would have to go through a pretty epic collapse to drop out of the playoffs.
Oh, they're making the playoffs. Yeah, that's not – my point is not that they're still a good team.
But they've got a ceiling.
99.999%.
They have a ceiling. They absolutely have a ceiling. You know, and I know the fan base, you know, bless their hearts, are all fired up and they're just beside themselves. You know, I had a guy that emailed me after the Boston game, said, I'll bet you a beer that the Thunder will win a playoff series. And I wanted to tell him two things. One, or three things. Betting is for losers. I don't drink beer. And three, I would never take money from somebody that is so clearly clueless about what's going on. Because, I mean, this is a really fun, good team, but it's got flaws. I mean, it really goes about six players deep, and nobody even knows who's their seventh player. They just run a bunch of guys out there. And Billy's done a great job, and Chris Paul and whoever else you want to give credit to, but it's just not that deep, and it's a fun story, but let's not pretend it's going to end with great glory.
They've got a ceiling.
They've got a ceiling.
And once,
the ceiling is the roof. The roof is the ceiling.
And once you hit not even a seven game, like a even if playoffs were three game series, that would be enough to really for another team to really exploit their weaknesses. Because, I mean, right now, no offense to Lu Dort, he has done a fantastic job, but it's not a good sign if you're starting a two-way rookie.
No, it's not a good sign at all.
His threes were
they were real bad
tonight.
Yeah, no.
And no. I had been saying for weeks, like, when he gets open corner threes, he's really efficient. He's been proving me wrong the last couple week.
His 5 of 6 game from three is going to be looked back on as an outlier, at least for this season.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's still helping him. I'm not saying he's not. He's still a good prospect, but right now he's not a good offensive player at all. He's probably better than Terrence Ferguson, who's, frankly, I don't know that I'd guard him if I was playing the Thunder.
He's just not.
I just go double team Chris Paul is what I'd do. I mean, whatever Terrence Ferguson wants to do. I don't think he'd run into the lane for a layup. So what harm could it do?
He had one nice play offensively. He drove the lane, kicked out to Chris Paul for a three. And, you know, that caught my eye. But, like, he was pretty open when he caught the ball.
Yes,
and he did not even look to shoot.
No, he's got no interest in shooting the ball.
Yeah, and he took one shot.
At least he does, he knows to pass the ball to Chris Paul. You know, passing the ball to Chris is never a bad move. So, you know, I give him credit for that.
Yeah, so the Thunder right now is two guys in their rotation. Arguably three if you're counting Hami, who are good to great defensively and aren't providing offense.
That's why I think Nader's got a chance to play. Like, play more than he has been, because got to have some sort of offensive threat.
Nader will be the backup power forward, I think.
Because you need someone out there to stretch the floor.
Yeah.
And
he'll be the backup power forward. Because think about
lineups.
It. You know, the power forwards, except unless you're playing Houston or somebody ridiculously small, power forwards are going to be guys that don't drive that much or can't out-quick you that much. So it's just a question of power, and Nader's bigger than somebody like Diallo. So I think Nader will end up getting a good chunk of the backup power forward minutes.
Like tonight, Trey Lyles, Rudy Gay. I mean, those are guys that he can guard.
To some degree, yeah. Not well, but
Trey Lyles
had a game.
He was just set on giving Steven Adams hugs.
I'm not talking about his final stats. Everything he was doing was standing out to me. He was, like, throwing up crazy shots. He was putting Steven Adams in a headlock. After that, it's not reviewed for a flagrant foul. He gets called for a technical when he thinks that someone fouled him on a dunk. Trey Lyles was entertaining.
He was front and center. It's about time he was known for something besides being traded for Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. Well. I was very surprised that, you know, they over-review sometimes. You know, tonight I was very surprised that they didn't review the
as a headlock.
The headlock.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And it wasn't like, it went so fast they forgot. Like,
he didn't let go.
He didn't let go. And then there was a long time when they're trying to, like, side out and Billy Donovan's standing there.
And the crowd was going crazy.
Finger around. Chris Paul was clearly pissed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that all works, but all the stuff they review for flagrants and stuff. Of course, I saw on TV tonight old Westbrook put an elbow on a drive, unintentional, but popped Marcus Smart in the face pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And they did review it, and then they ruled no flagrant. So, I don't know.
So maybe it wouldn't have gone the
other way. I don't know. I'll say this for Trey Lyles and for Steven Adams. It takes a brave man to put Steven Adams in a headlock. But
he doesn't often retaliate, though.
But that's right. He's got sort of a gentle spirit, because if he wanted to, he could have picked the guy up and just broke him in two over his knee. That would have been that.
He often just doesn't, like, feel things.
Yeah.
Like, I got punched in the face. Let me notice that tomorrow morning.
Yeah. That was just one of the funny moments tonight, I thought.
It was.
What a weird game. Thunder turned the ball over like crazy early on, too.
Yeah, I think
it was
seven
ugly
in the first 14 minutes, I think. Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was like four in like pretty rapid succession. There were two within the span of three possessions. It was brutal. And it wasn't offensive fouls or anything. It was two live ball turnovers in three possessions. And those are the ones where the other team is getting out in transition, getting out on the break, and can really punish you for it. And they did.
Yeah, it is just a bad night. You could tell. Even when they had a chance to win, you thought, this is not a game they even deserve to win. Because Spurs outplayed them. Good chunk of the night.
There was a good moment pregame where Nick Gallo was asking Pop about
how well they take care of the ball. And he started off saying, you guys are the best at not turning the ball over. And Pop goes, wait, we're the best at something?
That was a good moment. Not been a very Spursian year. They're 23-31. So, important win for them tonight. They're, let's see here, 4.5 games back of the 8 seed.
2-1 against the Thunder. The Thunder, they're a bit kryptonite-y for the Thunder.
Yeah.
Especially Aldridge.
I mean, that 25-7, two of the losses are to the Spurs.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they'll take care of the Pelicans. Get back on the right track.
They would move to 4-0 against the Pelicans if they could.
Who's guarding Zion?
I bet you Lou Dort.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know who else would.
I don't know.
Who would you put on him? Terrence will blow over.
Chris Paul.
Chris will get into his body.
Well,
Chris Paul.
It's not the worst. I mean,
maybe Dort with as big as he is, you know, that's not bad.
You just said Dort.
Well, Gallinari.
They're going to sink back. You would think they would play off him, you know.
What about Adams? What did you put Adams?
That's an option. But we've gone from one end of to the other. We're saying not Shea and not Gallinari.
We've said the guy that covers Damian Lillard or the guy that covers Anthony Davis. That's who we're saying. But tonight the Pelicans started Holiday, Hart, and Ball, so they start three guards. So if you put one of your guards on Zion, that means Gallinari or Adams has to go cover one of those guards, Hart, Ball, or Holiday.
That's a point.
So I don't know what they'll do.
Did Hayes start for them tonight?
No. Favors started at center. Mm. So Gallinari
so
on
you
Favors.
Could hide,
Gallinari,
you could, yeah. And then maybe Steven waits for Zion to come
and just see
running at him.
Yeah, you know, make Zion shoot. That's what I would do. Yeah. He's 0-1 tonight in three-point range. So I don't know.
Sort of play him like you do Westbrook almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Be fun.
Indeed. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to add?
No, I thought it was a rotten game. When things were rotten, that's the title.
Don't end it on that note.
Should we talk about the Timberwolves before we go?
When we write the book about this season, this four-game homestand can be a chapter. Entitle it, When Things Were Rotten.
So. I don't think I'd give the Timberwolves credit the other night when they beat the Clippers. They beat the Clippers 142-115.
Who, the T-Wolves?
The T-Wolves.
Yeah, and that was the first game that Kathmandu had won since November, I think.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. To his credit, I mean, I don't know if it's his. He was out for a chunk, but him coming back sure didn't help.
Nope.
They're back on a losing streak, so we can end it there.
Not on you giving them props, but on their losing
They've
streak.
Since lost.
Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning into this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your pets, your Timberwolves fans, and we will see you on Friday?
Thursday.
Oh, I should know that. I'm in Chicago on Friday. On Thursday after the Thunder's game in New Orleans.